This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor superfan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, buddy, here we go. It's hour three of the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. New book out today, The Wonder Boy by Tim McMahon. The elite Mavericks and NBA reporter Tim McMahon joining us now here on The Fan. And a good afternoon, Tim. How you doing?
Hey, partners. How you doing? I appreciate you having me.
Man, it is great to have you, especially on this day that now on sale. Congrats on the book. How'd it go?
There was a little plot twist at the end that caused some stress, some unanticipated extra work, but, that's the publishing business also doesn't move quite as quickly as I'm accustomed to in the dot-com world. But, all in all, it was quite an interesting project. It's been in the making for a few years, and it's nice to have the thing to the finish line.
After reading the final chapter that our friend sent over to me, Tim, I was left believing strongly that the Mavs' decision to trade Luka was not crazy at all.
Really? That's interesting. I would, the one thing I will say is I talked to a lot of people in a lot of front offices around the league. You know, I'm talking dozens of people, and I've yet to find one from another franchise who thinks that the Mavericks made a good move. So, there's certainly a lot that went into the decision, fraying of relationships, the conditioning concerns have frankly been a thing throughout Luka's career. But this is the first time we've ever seen a player, not just of this kind of talent, but who's produced at that level, traded before his prime, that didn't want to be dealt. You know, there have been guys who got moved, but it was because they basically forced the hand of their franchise, and that is absolutely not what happened here. So unprecedented, I'll say that. Bold, risky, there's a lot of words to describe it.
Yeah, I think the trade itself was terrible, but like when I'm reading about the alienation basically that was between Luka and the front office, they couldn't get a hold of him. He's putting on weight when he's supposed to be getting in shape. I felt like maybe this front office and team felt kind of hopeless trying to manage this guy. And, when you wrote that a source said they felt like they were being held hostage inside their own team by the player, I thought at that point, hey, the decision to trade him, I think somewhat reasonable, is just what they got was unforgivable.
Well, and so the majority of people I talk to around the league, the opinion is you just can't trade a guy who's that type of generational talent going into his prime unless you absolutely have to because he's demanding and he's forcing it. There were people who said, hey, I understand wanting to get out of the Luka Doncic business, but you have to maximize your return. And simply because Nico, by his own, not just admission, but he's proud of the fact that they kept it top secret. You know, there were no rumors. And most importantly to Nico, Luke and Bill Duffy had no idea this was coming. He felt like they had to blindside him with it. And in that process, you lose leverage because you're not opening up to other bidders. I think look, I reported on his conditioning probably more than anybody, and it is a concern. It has been. There have been consistent issues throughout his career, but it's pretty hard for me to say that it's something that is just, you have to reach the conclusion that you got to give up on the guy when he just averaged 34-10-9 and led a team to the finals while playing more minutes over the course of the regular season and playoffs than any other player in the NBA. So, was there plenty of room for improvement, of cause for frustration? Certainly. Absolutely. But to say, as Patrick Dumont says, you can't win that way, I don't understand how you can say that fresh off a finals appearance. Or as Patrick would say, making it to the championship games.
That frustration was definitely felt throughout Mavs Nation as we have Tim McMahon with us here. I guess, Tim, like as you've been talking to people around the league, how uncommon is this to where it's like Luka and he's certainly got issues that are frustrating the Mavs, but then other superstars, like maybe not all of the things are the same where it's Luka and the weight issues. But I mean, is there kind of a bag of hair around for all of these superstars that teams might not want to deal with, but they deal with it because they're just so damn good?
Yeah. And, as somebody says in that final chapter to me, basically, Luka, by superstar standards, was there some maintenance involved? Absolutely. But is he the highest maintenance superstar in the league today? No. And as I said, ask Miami if they would have rather dealt with Luka or Jimmy Butler over the first few months of this season. Listen, and the thing with, these guys having their own body teams or medical squads, or however you want to say it, that's not unusual. And look, it's been an issue with Kawhi Leonard and the Clippers. It was an issue with Donovan Mitchell and the Jazz. And in this case, it was an issue with Luka and the Mavericks, but that's also after the Mavericks got rid of the people in the health and performance group that Luka did know, that he did like, that he did respect, and most importantly, that he did trust. And so, again, there were issues there. I don't think Luka was solely or even primarily at fault for some of the issues, though.
It's Tim McMahon here with you on the Fan. So the right move, if you get wind of this as an owner, is to get a new GM. Do you think this is ultimately who the responsibility falls on, is the GM and the owner?
I mean, in this case, Nico Harrison absolutely managed up. I know there's been all kinds of conspiracy theories. Dogs had to come from the top down. I'm telling you, Nico has told you. Nico Harrison talked Patrick Dumont into this. Now, should Dumont have maybe picked up the phone and called Mark Cuban possibly and say, hey, I know we've totally pushed you out of basketball operations, but what do you think of this?
Yeah.
It might have been in his best interest. Should he have maybe, possibly even called another person who's been in that ownership seat? But he didn't. He bought what Nico was telling him. He completely trusted Nico. Nico said in Cleveland, the one time he's discussed this deal publicly, at least in a sort of press conference setting, he said, hey, time will tell if he was right. Obviously, the Mavericks have had some very unfortunate developments since then. But by shrinking the time frame to 3 to 4 years and trading a guy who's probably going to have a decade plus run, time was not going to be real friendly, I don't think.
How long do you expect Nico Harrison to be here?
That would be pure speculation on my part. I don't really want to speculate on that. The one thing I can say is Patrick Dumont's, as far as I know, the little he said publicly and everything I know behind the scenes, is he has, he's got Nico's back. He believes in Nico. Nico has his full support. I'm not sure that Dumont had any clue of the financial ramifications of this trade. That Supermax contract, that's a huge number. I think the Mavericks are going to lose a lot more revenue than they were going to be paying Luka Doncic.
Well, as you were uncovering all sorts of interesting nuggets throughout your time putting this book together, The Wonder Boy, Luka Doncic and the Curse of Greatness, what is one of the things that you found most interesting and stuff maybe that you didn't know but you uncovered?
You know, I think a lot of this is going back with the benefit of hindsight through his time with the Mavericks. I think the stuff that was most interesting for me to learn and was all new and fresh to me was all this stuff with the, with Real Madrid and more specific, I think more recently and more importantly with the Slovenian national team. And I went to Slovenia, you know, I got to know people in the basketball community there. I was around his national team, you know, went to Germany, saw them compete in group play. I've talked to, like Vlatko Čančar, who's with the Denver Nuggets, the only other current active Slovenian NBA player, had a nice conversation with him, among other guys. And I think that the one thing that I really kind of hit home with all that was Luka is naturally a guy who leans towards loyalty. If he loves you and he trusts you, he's going to be loyal to you. You know, and that's what he wants to be. And his commitment to the Slovenian national team is kind of exhibit A of that. Number one, the fact he plays for Slovenia, period. He had a Spanish passport. You know, he's of Serbian descent. If he wanted to jump on one of these established European powers bandwagons, he could have done that because he had never played in an official tournament for the Slovenian national team until Eurobasket when he was 17 and co-starring along Goran Dragic as this tiny little country beat all these established powers and won that title. So the fact he plays for them at all is an example of his loyalty. The fact he plays every single game he can, every single summer, if he can walk, he's on the floor, he's playing heavy minutes, he's carrying the load, that is extremely unusual. Almost every star in the NBA, it's a case-by-case basis. Luka's commitment to the Slovenian national program has been unconditional. And again, that's an example of loyalty. Now, did I think for a long time writing this book that it could end in a trade? Yeah. I thought that the Mavericks were going to fail to be able to put a contender around him for a long time, as recently as midway through last year. You know, it wasn't until about this time a year last year that I was like, okay, hey, they got something. They might have a chance here. But I never thought he would look for reasons to leave. I thought those reasons might just slap him in the face, but they succeeded building a contender around him. He, despite the friction with the front office and, you know, kind of the complicated relationships, he wanted to be in Dallas. He wanted to spend his whole career here. They changed their minds on him. They decided to dump him.
Hey, Tim, we're starting to hear Mark Cuban kind of talk, you know, on some podcasts and various things, but I want to ask you, and you have a relationship with Mark, as you will, a good relationship.
Hot and cold one.
Hot and cold one. But do you think Mark Cuban has any regret of hiring Nico? And would he have hired Nico knowing that if he was going to do this?
I can't sit here and put words in his mouth, but I can tell you this. Mark Cuban's priority over the previous 6 years or the 5.5 years that he had basketball control during Luka's career was to do everything within his power to make Luka happy. I mean, there were a lot of missteps by Cuban along the way. The Porzingis trade blew up in his face, completely bungled the Jalen Brunson situation. You know, sure. These things are in the book. You know, there was a lot of chaos in the front office with the coaching staff. You know, Cuban should own some of that accountability. But there is just a 0.0% chance that Cuban would have intentionally done anything that would result in Luka Doncic leaving Dallas. Cuban desperately wanted this guy to spend his entire career in Dallas, just as he did Dirk. Cuban's loyalty to Luka was absolutely, positively unwavering. And look, man, I can tell you, Mark Cuban has not gone to many road games this year. He hadn't gone to a single road game since the NBA banished him from the second row of the bench.
Yeah.
Until the Mavericks are in Los Angeles on February 25th. Cuban bought courtside tickets, and he's sitting right there wearing a pair of Lukas on his feet.
Mm. Yeah. Hey, Tim, but let me ask you this, though, about with Mark and, you know, the situation with with him and Luka and all that, though, is mm-hmm. is this one of these things where do you blame people in the organization that didn't step up and tell Dumont that this was a terrible idea? I know you said that they, you know, that...
Well, who's...
Well, that's what I'm saying. I mean, is it basketball malpractice for a Michael Finley or somebody? I'm just, you know, I'm trying to think of basketball operations people or, you know, assistant general managers, or is there anybody in the organization that was willing to put their job on the line and say, this is a terrible idea, guys. It's a terrible idea.
And frankly, I don't know exactly what was said behind closed doors. Okay. I can tell you it was not a consensus decision within the front office. I can tell you that for certain.
Yeah.
Now, you know, should somebody go over the head of Nico Harrison to talk to Patrick Dumont?
Sure.
You know, Patrick Dumont and Nico Harrison want to operate in a very corporate-like structure.
Sure.
I just cannot imagine somebody doing that and keeping their job.
Right.
You know, so can I blame somebody if they didn't feel comfortable doing that? Hey, man, these are human beings with, you know, families to feed and, right. you know, all those kind of things. First of all, I can't tell you for certain that didn't happen. I don't believe it did. But I can't fault somebody for not doing something that almost certainly would have resulted in them being unemployed.
Okay. Finishing up with Tim McMahon here on The Fan. Okay, so with AD coming back last night, maybe Lively and Gafford in the future, how good is this team now as they're cobbling together point guard play?
Well, that, unfortunately, look, this team, it was never going to be a popular trade, but this team is going to have a chance to be really good this season. Kyrie Irving was going to be the leader of that. Kyrie Irving and Anthony Davis obviously were going to be the co-stars. They really needed Kyrie to be the player that he had been all season until he, you know, had just a devastating knee injury. And any chance of the Mavericks being anything more than a pesky play-in team, it went down that night, unfortunately. And then, you know, we'll see about next season. You know Kyrie's going to work. You know he's going to do everything in his power to be able to come back strong. We don't know how much time he's going to miss next season. We don't know what he's going to look like coming off a major knee injury in his 30s. If Kyrie's not himself, it's really hard to see this team as anything more than maybe first-round playoff fodder. It's not nice to say, but that's just the fact of the matter.
No, always appreciate your candor and your honesty there, Tim McMahon. And then what do you think about Nico moving forward? Can fans look at him like, other than the Luka trade, a good GM, or is this a guy that can be trusted to lead them back to contention?
Well, you know, other than her husband getting shot in the head, I think Mrs. Lincoln probably enjoyed that play. Yeah. based on what I've heard, at least. Wow. You know, but well, like, said. Seriously, what do you, I mean, other than the Luka trade, Nico has done a good job here.
Yes, yeah.
He was able to scramble and successfully recover from a catastrophe with Jalen Brunson leaving for nothing in free agency in the wake of the Western Conference Finals trip. Now, they got fortunate that because of a lot of controversy and chaos in Brooklyn, that they were able to get Kyrie at a massively depressed price. They were fortunate that the Lakers didn't make a run at him in free agency and they didn't have to sweat that out. And then he made good moves last year. And they weren't necessarily well-received around the league at the time, but P.J. Washington, Daniel Gafford at the deadline, you know, drafting Derek Lively II, Derek Jones Jr. on a minimum. And then, honestly, this year, I thought they had probably the best supporting cast around Luka, but everything revolved around Luka, and rightfully so. So do I think that up until February rolled around this year from a roster construction standpoint that Nico Harrison had a successful tenure as a general manager? Yes. Do I think that he's going to get a lot of credit for that from the Mavericks fan base after the guy who everything revolved around got unceremoniously dumped and you didn't maximize the return? No, I don't think that people are going to go out of their way to grade Nico on a curve around here.
Okay, Tim, do me a favor. Power rank the Luka problems, the food, the beer, the hookah / heaters.
I mean, honestly,
I know there was a picture of him smoking hookah on vacation. I've never heard anybody consider that a problem. The man liked to eat, likes to eat. You know, he enjoys a post-game brewski or two-ski. He does have the remarkable ability to put on weight while leading the league in, you know, in usage rate and playing heavy minutes. So that stuff was absolutely a legitimate concern. The fear was, with all these calf strains, that there was going to be a major injury, that his body's going to break down in his prime. So, yeah, all those are real concerns. Again, though, I do have to point out, I don't know if anybody's aware of this, but he did average 34, 10, and 9 and lead a team to the finals and lead the NBA in minutes played over the regular season and playoffs last year. So a lot of room for improvement, diet, conditioning, discipline, all those kind of things. And I get all the concerns and I get the frustration, but typically that kind of production forgives a lot of sins.
Was he a drive-through guy? Was he like a...
I tell you this, you know, Nick and Sam's loves him. I don't think they've got a drive-through over there. But
there you go.
Doggy bags. Yeah.
Eating good.
They've still got the Luca on the menu, as I'm sure you boys know. It's a 77-ounce steak. I joke. It'll be an order two, but I'm just kidding.
We all know it'd be three. You're the man, Tim. The Wonder Boy by Tim McMahon about Luca on sale now. Thanks again, and congrats on the release.
Hey, really appreciate you boys having me. Adios, amigos.
Salute. There he goes. Quite a conversation, and a guy who has been all over this story, rankling people at times, including Luca. Throughout this entire story arc. But, I mean, it makes a great point. It's like Ronaldo from Brazil, big Ronaldo, fat Ronaldo, right? Mm-hmm. People talked about how out of shape he was while he was scoring the most goals in the entire world.
Sure.
You know, what's the problem here? Well, Chuck, where are we going next?
All right. Well, I hated the Luka trade. Let's do top 10 sports teams you love to hate. 877-881-1053. Who do you enjoy hate watching? That's next in the nation.